What are you going to do with your life? Anybody know? You might be young or old and still maybe asking this question, what am I going to do with my life? It's a question that comes up from time to time, and our youth group, it's come up often lately, just as some of our, half of our group is our seniors and are thinking about that next stage of life, where to go to college and if to go to college and what kind of career do I want to pursue? Will I get married or will I be single? Where am I going to live? Lots of big questions. You know what? I feel for them. It can be a stressful time of life, and it seems like everyone expects them to have it figured out. They're probably a little tired of hearing that question. So, what are you going to do? And maybe the answer has changed a bunch of times over the last year and is still changing, my guess. I still don't have it figured out, really. It doesn't seem like. It seems like some of my best decisions I've just kind of fallen into. I mean, I know God has been intimately involved in directing my steps, but from my perspective, some of those decisions just seem like I just fell into it. It wasn't a result of some great master plan that I put together. I feel fortunate to be married to an amazing lady. But you know, when we were dating, especially during our engagement, I gave her a pretty hard time. There were quite a few times during our engagement where I was like second-guessing this whole thing and wondering whether this is what I was supposed to do. Are we to get married? I was looking at all the possibilities of problems. And you know, if I were her in that situation, I might have bailed out on me. Because even right up to like some of the last few weeks before we got married, we were still having some discussions about whether we were going to do this or not. That's not really a good thing to do to somebody. I don't deserve her, but you know, God blessed me in spite of myself, and she stuck with me, as Doris does so well. I don't know that I could take much credit for that great decision. It was a good decision, but I don't know that I could take a lot of credit for it. Where's your life going to go? What are those decisions that you're going to make? And these are such big questions that they do kind of freak us out sometimes. Like, I don't really know. Like, I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do here. Or maybe you're here and you think you've got it all figured out. You've got it mapped out exactly what your life is going to be like and how you want it to happen. Either way, I believe the scripture that we're looking at today will bring a fresh perspective on these questions that we've all dealt with and continue to ask at various times in our lives. I believe following some of the direction in the scripture will bring some peace, some hope, some joy, and even some great expectations. We're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 4 primarily. So if you have a Bible and you want to turn, you can follow along with me. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll be reading starting at verse 7 through verse 11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The end is near. I don't know what that makes you think of. I'm sure probably your thoughts go in various directions with that kind of a statement. But it puts things in perspective, doesn't it? And Peter, I think, is good at that. He does this kind of a statement in both of his letters. The end is near. And I think it's exactly what we need. We need perspective. And there is some disagreement among commentators about what end Peter is actually talking about here, whether for the Jewish nation or their own death or when Christ returns. I tend to think that it's the latter, since he talks about this in 2 Peter as well. But either way, I don't know that it changes our response. Those of you who have been at a funeral lately or lost a loved one have been reminded that the end is near. Jesus tells us that he's coming soon, doesn't he? So take your pick. They each give us the same perspective. And it comes back to some of these big questions that I asked earlier. What are we going to do with our life in this relatively brief time that we have? It's a big deal, isn't it? It's not that this isn't a big deal. It is a big deal. This short time of life, what are we going to do with it? And it's no wonder that we freak out a little bit about it. And the idea can even make us a little panicky sometimes, like, am I doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing? Am I where I'm supposed to be at? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Well, there really isn't a need to get panicky, but I do believe the scripture is going to help us prioritize a little bit. What should we do with our lives in this perspective since the end is near? And the first thing Peter mentions is to pray. And I think the ESV misses it a little bit here because most translations say something like be diligent in prayer or that kind of idea. The New Living Translation says, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. To pray. The end is near. Pray. It's the first thing that Peter tells us to do, which I think is interesting. It gives us some perspective. I know for me, sometimes I feel so busy doing things that I just don't know that I have much time for prayer. And it's kind of backwards, isn't it? I like what Martin Luther is quoted to have said. He said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. It's an interesting way of looking at life. So much to do that I'm going to begin by spending a significant amount of time in prayer. It is true that there is much to be done, but who's going to do it? Is it going to be you or is it going to be God? And how will you know what to do without significant time seeking the face of God and asking him what it is that he wants you to do? How will you be able to see what God is doing without looking to see if you can join him in what he's doing? I don't know how you feel about the new presidency. The inauguration was just this week. Maybe you're excited, depending on how you voted. Maybe you're worried. And maybe you wonder, well, what is my role here? What should I do? What's my part in this country? You care about it, but what should I do? There could be a myriad of things that we could do to influence our country. But I believe the most powerful and effective thing that any one of us could do would be to pray for our country and to pray for its leaders, It's what we're called to do, isn't it? Primary thing we're called to do for our country, to pray. And so it's the place where I believe we could be most effective. Doesn't mean that there aren't other things that God might ask us to do. But I think it's the most effective place we could spend our energies would be in prayer. So what should you do with your life? I'm not just giving you a pat Christian answer here. You will be most effective on your knees. Anything that you do, I believe that the most effective place for you is in prayer. The time that you spend in prayer. This is where you will accomplish the most in your life. And so, in this perspective, the end is near. What should we do? We should pray. We should pray individually, corporately, as couples, as families, as friends. We should take every opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer. I've been so blessed the last couple years in being a part of, anybody is welcome to join us at 9 o'clock. We meet for a prayer time before the service to pray for what happens here and to pray for each other, to pray for the work of the church, whatever the Lord brings to our minds. And it's been a real blessing to me to be a part of that, to pray with other people for these things, to prepare for the service in this way. It's my best preparation for this time together, that time of prayer. And so Peter calls us to pray. Secondly, he says, love one another. And I think there's an order here to what he's talking about. Pray first, love one another. Let's waste no time in loving one another with everything that we have. If the end is near, there's no time to waste on trivial things or problems with one another, but to resolve them and love one another. Our lives are to be rooted and motivated by love. Now, maybe this doesn't answer the questions about where to go to college or what job to get or what personal goals to set. But Peter wants us to remember that all of those things are really secondary. Even the great spiritual goals or gifts, they're secondary to love. This is what we want our life to be about, if someone were to describe our life, a life of love. And it reminds me of the passage in 1 Corinthians 13. Many of you are familiar with that. I just want to read the first several verses. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Peter calls us here to love one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, love offers forgiveness, grace, and mercy to one another for the many ways we offend and hurt one another. It really is the most excellent way as described in Scripture. When I was preparing this message, I was thinking of a song that Joey and Rory Feek sing. It's called In the Time That You Gave Me. And in that song, they sing about the things that they've been given to do. Did I love all I could love in the time that you gave me? In this precious time that I've been given, did I love all that I could love? So Peter is setting us on a good trajectory, and we think about what it is that we do with our life. We might want to get out and do those things right away, but he sets a basis here for us to pray diligently, to love one another earnestly. And the last one that I want to touch on that he brings up here is to serve one another. Verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Use it to serve one another. One of the ways that I have been blessed this past year is the opportunity to hang out with the youth as a youth leader along with David and Brenda Perkins. And I asked the youth yesterday if they would help me out with the sermon today. So if all of you youth who are willing could come up and join me here on the stage and bring your item, that would be great. You can just come in right here behind me and so people can see. All right. And youth leaders as well, David and Brenda. I asked them to bring something that represents what they're gifted at. One thing that they're gifted at or good at. And so, let's see if we can figure it out. Oh, Shepherd, you're going to do... He said he was good at push-ups.
I'm wearing a tight shirt.
Okay. All right. Well, we won't make you do push-ups then. But he's got some artwork here that was actually part of... Was that the artwork that was part of our...
This one was. This
yeah,
one was.
Part of our... our white elephant gift exchange.
Yeah.
All right. But... all of them have different things, and I'm just going to go down down the row here, and I'm not going to try and embarrass you, but I want to talk just a little bit about each of these youth, because it's been a pleasure for me just to have the opportunity to get to know them. Shepherd, of course, he's got a little artwork here, but Shepherd, he does a lot of things. You see him in the back, often on the computer, helping out in that way on Sunday morning, but Shepherd is one that I have discovered has a great sense of humor. Would you all agree? Yeah. A great sense of humor, a great attitude. I don't know of anybody that I can think of that has a better attitude than Shepherd. But now, I don't know if he's like this at home all the time. But when I see him, he's just got a great, he brings joy to any and life to any group. So those are just a few things that I appreciate about Shepherd. Mandy's got a basketball, which, did you have a game yesterday? No. I heard one of the recent games, you had 21 points. I don't know. Is that right? Yeah? 20? Somewhere in there. A great athlete. But I also noticed that Mandy has some leadership skills, too. I don't know if she's noticed that. But she's one that will step up in youth group and lead at times. And so I'm curious kind of where that's going to go, how God's going to use that. Now, Sophie, she insists, I asked her what she's good at. She said, well, I'm not good at anything, and I don't believe that. She's learning the ukulele right now, and maybe sometime we'll do a song for you all on ukuleles. I think there are four in the youth group right now, four ukuleles, so we'll see. I think Sophie's going to be a leader, too. She also plays softball, I know. So and that season is coming up right now, so... But Sophie has some skills, too, that she brings to our group. She's a quiet leader, but she brings just a great presence to our youth group. Gabrielle has some artwork. I know she does art. Also, I know that she has a real interest in serving kids, and which is a result of she's heading up our nursery back here. She's in charge of that schedule. And has dreams of maybe working in an orphanage sometime, maybe in Africa or some other part of the world. Lane, all right, you got the bat, softball. She also, I know, got a ukulele for Christmas. And Lane, she has led one of our Bible studies for youth group, did a fantastic job with that. Also a great leader in our group. And artwork, yes. And she brought a whole portfolio. Meredith brought a whole portfolio this morning of artwork. One of our artists among us, and we'll have it out in the back if you want to look through it after, right?
I guess.
Meredith is also, she leads up our activities for the youth group and is very much an emerging leader in that way. David and Brenda, of course, we know that they're fantastic artists, and they have a few of their handiwork here this morning. Are you going to hold it up and show it to us? Yes. All right. Thank you. But you know what? David and Brenda also have done a fantastic job of helping lead the youth group. It has been a joy for me to see them step up and provide leadership for our youth group. Thank you for helping me out. You all can go back. Give them a hand. We're really in a process, I feel like, of discovering what their gifts are and giving them an opportunity to use them. And I'm excited about where the Lord is going to take them and what the Lord is going to do with their lives. They're a gift to our church, as each one of you are. And as we get to know each other, we start to understand what each other's callings and gifts are and see what they are and how they can fit together in the ministry. I feel like one of my main roles as a leader of the youth group and a leader of the church is to give everyone an opportunity to utilize and use their gift in the way that God has designed them to use it. All believers have been graced by God with spiritual gifts as well as natural gifts. And I think the question for all of us is, what are these gifts for? Why do you have them? We've all been given them. Why do we have them? What are they for? What are you using them for? How are you going to use them? Remember, the end is near. How are you going to use them? The scripture reminds us that we are merely stewards of these gifts. Just as we're stewards of the finances that we have or the different things that we've been given, we are stewards of this very grace that God has showered us with. And how will you manage all that you've been gifted with? How will you use it? This scripture tells us that we're to use our gifts to serve one another. The gifts that we've been given, we're to use them to serve one another. We use our spiritual gifts and all others to serve and love one another. In a real sense, they're not really ours, but they've been entrusted to us, not for our own gratification or for our own glory, but for use by God Himself and for His glory. That's why we've been given them. It seems like somewhere along the line, we get this idea that all of these things that we have, our education opportunities, our job, our finances, our abilities, our families, that somehow they're separate from our walk of faith, that those are for us to just use for our own benefit, and then we have this other section of our life that's for God. But all of these things have been given for us by the Lord for the purpose of ministering to others in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. There really is no separating these things out. I miss soccer games. Not just because I like watching my kids play soccer and do well on the soccer field, but I miss them for the opportunities that I had during those soccer games to connect with other parents and to get to know some of the kids a little bit and to, in a sense, minister to people that I came in contact through soccer games. A couple months ago, or maybe a month, I went back to my old workplace at Command Alcon. In fact, they had moved to a new building close to Plain City. I had never been in the new building, so I wanted to see that as well. And I spent, I don't know, probably 3 hours there going around the building, reconnecting with people that I worked with, praying for some, with some, listening, caring for them. And I came out of that building just feeling just blessed. It was just like, this was where I needed to be that day. And I miss it. But I don't miss it just because I miss the technical field and the work that I did there. But I miss it because it was an opportunity to minister to people. I have a pastor friend who was talking the other day. He's not really making enough money to support himself as a pastor. And so he said, I'm looking for a job. He said, I'm looking for a job to support my preaching habit. And I wonder, isn't that really true for all of us in a lot of ways? The things that we're doing, the work that we have, we're looking for things to pay the bills, to support ministry, what God has asked each of us to do, to use our gifts and abilities in ministry. We're made for ministry. It's our number one calling, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's directly involved in the church. And I think we get it turned around sometimes. I'll do the work of ministry if it fits into the rest of my life. It is our life. It is our life. If everything that we've been given has been given to us for ministry to one another, to people. Use it. Use all of it for its purpose. I know we have to pay the bills, but you have that job to support your ministry habit. Remember it. Look at it that way. That's what you got it for. I need that bat. Lane, can you bring that softball bat up here? I don't know if any of you have ever heard of, if you know baseball or softball, thank you. Have you ever heard of the sweet spot? You know what the sweet spot is? I don't know if I can explain it exactly, but the sweet spot is when you hit that ball right on the meat of the bat, solid, square, not too high, not too low, not too early, not too late. You hit it right in the sweet spot, right there. And if you play baseball, you know how that feels when you get it. Man, you get it right there. Oh, it feels so good. You see that ball headed out. It's not as important even how fast you swing the bat. Now, yes, it is important to swing the bat hard, but the most important thing is to hit that ball right on the sweet spot at the right time, in the right place. And I'm wondering for you, do you know where your sweet spot is? Are you aiming for it? Do you know where it is? Where is your sweet spot? The place where you're like, it's right. That's right for me, right there in the middle. Do you know what your sweet spot is? It's not just about working hard. It's not just about changing the world and making it a better place. It's about listening to God and using the gifts that He has graced you with to serve one another, joining Him in His work, using His gifts, serving in the strength that He's given you. That's your sweet spot. It's the best place for us to be. Some of us might be trying too hard. And once again, if you've played baseball or softball, you know what I'm talking about. You kind of sometimes get in a slump, and you just want to hit that ball. And maybe you try and swing harder. It seems like sometimes the harder you try, the more you miss, foul them off. Batting is a mind game. And I think often as believers, we try too hard. We miss the ball entirely. And I'm speaking for myself here. Swinging harder is not necessarily the answer. Sometimes we're anxious. And maybe this idea that the end is near makes us anxious. And so we're just going to swing. Swing as hard as we can, as often as we can. Just flailing at the ball. I know from experience that that doesn't really work real well. We don't really hit the ball very often on the sweet spot. There are others of us who are too cautious. Sometimes we feel like we don't have much to offer. We don't have any gifts. We don't really know what we should do. And so maybe we hardly even swing the bat, but we just watch the ball go past. And even when we swing, we're too late and we follow off into the right field seats. Some of us, I'm sad to say, maybe aren't even in the game. Maybe just sitting the bench. Haven't really even tried to use our abilities in the work of the kingdom, but are focused on using them for a lot of other things. I don't know where you're at this morning. I can't really say what you should do with your life as far as where to go to college. I could give some advice on that. I could give some advice about financial aid or maybe what occupation to pursue or even where you should live. But that's not really the advice that would be the best for me to give you. I can tell you where you will be the most fulfilled, the most complete, and the most content. It's in that sweet spot that God has for you. It is when you are in the yoke with Jesus, not too far ahead, not lagging too far behind, but side by side with Him, using the gifts that He has graced you with to serve one another, and the strength that He has given to you, and all for love. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's where our sweet spot is, right there. And yes, we need to be using our gifts for the work of the kingdom, but it's not as hard as what you might think to be in the yoke with Jesus, to respond as He calls you. This scripture we've looked at says that He's going to provide the strength that we need to work in His strength, not on our own strength, but in His strength. It's our sweet spot. It's a sweet spot for our church when we see all different kinds of people with varied gifts and abilities. And we saw a variety of abilities here. We're all that way. But to see them be put to use to come together as one body of believers for the work of the kingdom, it's a beautiful thing to see. It's the sweet spot for the church when all of them are working together. None of them are left out. I so appreciated our last elders meeting. We've functioned with an elders team of one elder instead of three for the last couple of years. And the last meeting we had a full team. And I don't know, I was surprised even how it affected me personally, but after the meeting, I was just full of gratefulness in my heart to the Lord for each person who's willing to serve and to give their gifts and abilities to contribute in that way. It was a blessing to be a part of that, and it one of the recent council meetings, I thought the same thing as we have a new council member coming on, and look how God provides. And I came away from that meeting with the same feeling, like, wow, look what God is doing here as people step up and use their gifts that God has given them to serve in His kingdom work. It is then that we fulfill the true calling and purpose for each of us. And that true calling and purpose, I want to finish with here in verse 11, the end of verse 11. What is this all for? What is it? What's the purpose? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.